Today, as we celebrate this feast that is dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist, it is appropriately referred to as Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And yet at the same time, that can cause a little bit of confusion, because we all learn that the bread turns into the body of the Lord and the wine turns into the blood of the Lord. But we have to recognize that it is more than just that. Because when we talk about his body, you can go to a mortuary and you can find a bunch of bodies there, but the person's not there any longer. The soul is gone. You can go to an accident scene and you can find some blood that's spilled out on the ground. You can say, oh, that's the blood that belongs to so-and-so. That blood is no longer part of the person. So that's not what we're doing with the Holy Eucharist. When we receive Holy Communion, we receive the entire person of Jesus. That's the part we must understand, because you receive him as he is right now. Right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So he is crucified, he is risen, he is ascended and glorified. And you receive him in his glorified state. In that state, there is no separation of his body and his blood. And we all know, too, that with the Eucharist, it is the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of the Lord. The soul, remember, is the principle of life in a living being. So in other words, this is alive. It is the Lord. And it is his divinity as well, which is shared equally with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And so we receive God into ourselves. This is something that is so far beyond what we will ever be able to understand, and yet it is the fullness of the love of our Lord for us. That's the part that we really need to be able to accept, how much he loves us, that he would give himself to us in this way. And while we receive the entire person of our Lord, not just a little piece of Jesus, but we receive the entire person of the Lord into ourselves, we also have to recognize that he is present sacramentally, not physically. In other words, if he was physically present, that would be literally a piece of meat, a piece of human flesh. But if you look under a microscope, you're not going to see human flesh. It is the substance that changes, so that we would be able to receive our blessed Lord without committing cannibalism and without violating our own dignity or his. And so he gives himself to us in a way that we would be able to receive him. But you might look at it and say, but if I can't see him or touch him or taste him or feel him, how do I know that he's there? Because he said it. He is God. And because he is God, whatever he says happens. Remember, there were people that he healed, and he didn't touch them. He just spoke, and it came to be, which is exactly what Scripture says that God did with creation. Go back to the book of Genesis. God simply spoke, "Let us," he would say, and then he created whatever it was that he created. He spoke, and it happened. Jesus said, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood." Not this is a symbol of, or this is a sign of. This is. It is him. And when we even listen to what St. Paul told us in the first reading, he said, "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." And then goes on to repeat that same point of what Jesus did at the Last Supper. St. Paul received this from the Lord. He didn't receive it from the other apostles. He didn't say, hey, this is what Jesus did at the Last Supper, but St. Paul received by revelation what our Lord had passed on. And that's exactly what he's teaching the Corinthians, that, hey, I passed this on to you guys as well. So this is something that early Christians believed, that Christians have believed from the very beginning. You have to recognize the implications of this. Either Jesus told us the truth, and this is truly the Lord, or he lied to us, which would mean that he's not God. And if he lied to us, it's a piece of bread. And if it's a piece of bread and we're worshiping that piece of bread as God, that's a violation of the first commandment. So we recognize that there are serious implications that are there for this, for you and me. But there are also very practical implications, because I don't doubt that anyone here believes what the church teaches. We believe that the bread and wine change into the person of Jesus. So now let me challenge you with the next step then. If we really believe that, how much do we live it? Let me put it to you another way. How much time do you spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament? That is Jesus. You think of how many people who call themselves Christian that would simply say, but if I could just be with Jesus, if I could just see him, if I could talk to him. You have that opportunity every single day. How often do you do it? There was a cool kind of poster years ago, and it was basically encouraging people to come to the church. And it said, join an organization where you have access to top management 24 hours a day. You can talk to the Lord any time of the day or night. So how often do we? You see, we say that we believe that this is Jesus, but then we don't live it. We believe it in our heads, but it hasn't somehow gotten into our hearts to be able to actually put this into practice, to be able to say, I want to be with Jesus. Remember the Greeks that came to St. Philip? And what did they say? We want to see Jesus. You don't just get to see him. He loves you so much that you get to receive him. He literally enters into you. Your soul becomes heaven. Your soul becomes the dwelling place of God. And again, we've heard that how many times? Because I know I've told you how many times. But how much of a difference does it really make? Again, we know it in our heads. We need to get it into our hearts. That's the key to this whole thing, to be able to really live what it is that we profess. We believe that this is Jesus. We do not doubt for a second that this is Jesus. We do not doubt because he's the one who said it. That's why we believe. Remember, in all of the various parables, over and over and over again, the apostles didn't understand. They didn't get it. And what did Jesus do? He would take them aside. He would explain the parable to them. He didn't explain it to everybody else, just to his apostles. But when he spoke about the Eucharist, and all the people said, this is hard to listen to. Who can endure this? And they walked away. And then he looked at his apostles and said, do you want to leave too? He didn't say, no, you guys didn't get it once again. No, they got it. They understood. And he looked at them and said, do you want to leave too? He was very clear. This is the reality. This is his body and blood, as well as his soul and divinity. This is God truly present among us. When you are here at Mass, you are there at Calvary. You are there at the sacrifice of the Lord. You are also there at his resurrection and his ascension and his glorification. You are united with him as he is in heaven. He is united with us as we are here on earth. That's the glory of this gift. And so it's not a question of saying doubt no longer, because I don't think you doubt. But it's let it go deeper. Let it get from the mind into the heart so that we can actually put it into practice. If this really is Jesus, and it is, then we want to be where Jesus is. We want to see the Lord. We want to be with the Lord. That's the gift. He is with us. The question is, are we with him?